New York's Attorney General Eliot Spitzer is famous as a crusader against corporate greed. He's also keeping an eye on charities and the telemarketers who raise funds for them. In a recent report, Spitzer says as little as 30% of the money they raise may actually go for good works. Attorneys general in Massachusetts and California have issued similar reports. To find out more about where your pledge money may be going, we turn now to Patrick Rooney, Director of Research for the Center on Philanthropy at Indiana University, and Walter Scudlow. He is Executive Vice President of the Association of Fundraising Professionals. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Mr. Scudlow, can I start with you? Attorney General Spitzer's report dealt mostly with telemarketing companies in New York State. Do telemarketers across the country typically keep most of the money that's pledged over the phone?
Well, Jennifer, I can't say typically whether they do that. The important question for us is how the telemarketers are compensated. And we have a code of ethics that is enforced, and it prohibits compensation based on a percentage of the funds raised by the telemarketer or by the individual working for the charity. And so our members, they're paid either a fixed salary or a fixed fee. Almost all the scandals that we hear about in the news are related to percentage-based fundraising, where the charity has essentially lost control or not properly overseen the fundraising activities of the third-party vendor, and that results in often absurdly high fundraising costs being attributed to the telemarketer. I think any telemarketer who raises funds based on a percentage of the funds that they raised is keeping too much.
Mr. Rooney, there's a saying, it takes money to make money. How much does it cost for a nonprofit organization to run a fundraising operation?
Well, Jennifer, one of the things that we found, we've been working on a study looking at the cost of fundraising and overhead costs of nonprofits for the last 5 years, in conjunction with the Urban Institute in Washington, D.C. And one of the things we found, looking at the 990s, which is an informational tax return filed by nonprofits, that the average, the mean cost of fundraising is 24 cents for every dollar raised, but the median is only 16 cents. That is, half of the nonprofits spend 16 cents or less, and then the other half spend 16 cents or more. And so this is a wide average, but at the same time, we know that there's a lot of variation among nonprofits. Small, new nonprofits have much higher fundraising costs than larger nonprofits. Nonprofits that have been affiliated with a religious organization or a college or university that has a natural constituency, their fundraising costs tend to be much lower. And for a new startup nonprofit, using a telemarketer may be the only way that they can penetrate the market. And if it can negotiate with the telemarketer, that it gets to keep the list of donors. Because one of the things that we know from our research is that it costs more money to acquire a new donor than it does to renew an existing donor. But if the telemarketer doesn't share the list of donors with the nonprofit, then they're always starting over.
Mr. Rooney, you mentioned that small charities might make good use of telemarketers. Mr. Scudlow, what's your recommendation for small charities?
Well, as I said before, small charities may be small for a number of reasons. It may be that they're startups. It may be that their charitable mission is unpopular or not well known. And in those cases, I think they really need to develop their volunteer capabilities and also negotiate with the outside vendors like telemarketers to see if they can make a good deal that protects the interests of the charity and doesn't provide a very lopsided return to the outside firm.
You know, one of the beautiful things about the nonprofit sector is its plurality and diversity and so on. And so I wouldn't want to say that, you know, small nonprofits, you know, should not be given the chance to start up and be given a fighting chance to get going. But at the same time, if they can't attract donors without spending exorbitant amounts on fundraising, and if they cannot attract volunteers to their board and to help staff other functions, then you know, then they probably have not found a niche that is important enough to be viable.
Can you say, if you get a phone call at home and they want you to donate, can you say, well, where exactly is this money going to go?
Yes, in fact, I do this all the time. When I get telephone solicitations from nonprofits, I ask how much of the money is going to the nonprofit, and how much does the telemarketing firm keep? And frequently they hang up at that point. If they give me a plausible answer, then you might evaluate that. But the other thing is I don't like the kind of high-pressure environment of a telephone solicitation. And so I'll say, well, why don't you send me something I can review by mail, and I can sit down and talk with my wife and think about whether or not this makes sense for us.
Patrick's absolutely right there. Potential donors really need to investigate the organizations that they're being asked to give to very carefully and never feel pressure. The organization will always, if it's a legitimate organization, volunteer to provide written information, more detail, and the donor should expect that.
Walter Scudlow is with the Association of Fundraising Professionals, and Patrick Rooney is with the Center on Philanthropy at Indiana University. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer.